Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 90. Summary of Lord Krishna's glories. Text 25. And then, because today is the auspicious appearance day of Sri Advaita Acharya, we'll speak about Sri Advaita Acharya, also known as Mangala, because he is all auspicious. Sri Shuka Vacha. Iti drishena bhavena, Krishna yogeshvareshvare, kriyamanena madhavyo, lebire paramam gatim, iti drishena bhavena, Krishna Yogeshvare, Krishna Yogeshvare, Shvare, Kriyamanena Madhavyo, Lebhire Paramam Gatim, Iti Drishena Bhavena, Krishna Yogeshvare, Shvare, Kriyamanena Madhavyo, Lebhire Paramam Gatim. Vaishnavis. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Shukadev Goswami said, Iti, speaking thus, Idrishena, with such, Bhavena, ecstatic love. Krishna, for Krishna. Yoga Ishvara, of masters of yoga. Ishvare, the master. Kriyamanena, behaving. Madhavya, the wives of Lord Madhava. Lebhire, they attained. Paramam, ultimate. Gitim, the goal. Shukadeva Goswami said, by thus speaking and acting with such ecstatic love for Lord Krishna, the master of all masters of mystic yoga, his loving wives attain the ultimate goal of life. Purport. According to Acharya Sri Jiva Goswami, here Shukadeva Goswami uses the present tense of the word kriyamanena to indicate that the Lord's queens attained his eternal abode immediately without delay. By this insight, the Acharya helps refute the false notion that after Lord Krishna's departure from this world, some primitive cowherds kidnapped his queens while they were under the protection of Arjuna. In fact, as the self-realized Vaishnava commentaries explain elsewhere, Lord Krishna himself appeared in the guise of the thieves who abducted the queens. For further information on this subject, see Srila Prabhupada's purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 1.15.20. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti remarks that the supreme goal attained by these exalted women was not the liberation of the impersonal yogis, but the perfect state of prema bhakti, pure loving devotion. Indeed, since they were already imbued with divine love of God from the very beginning, they possessed transcendental bodies of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, in which they were fully able to relish the pleasure of reciprocating with the Supreme Lord in his most intimate sweet pastimes. Specifically, in the opinion of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, their love of God matured into the ecstasy of madness and pure love, bhavonmada, just as the gopis' love did when Krishna disappeared from their midst during the rasa dance. At that time, the gopis experienced the full development of ecstatic madness, which they expressed in their inquiries from the various creatures of the forest, and in such words as, Krishnoham pashyata gatim. I am Krishna. Just see how gracefully I move. Bhagavatam 10.30.19. Similarly, the vilasa, or flourishing transformation of the ecstatic love of Lord Dwarakadish's principal queens has produced the prema vaitritya symptoms they have exhibited here. Om Gyanatirmidandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militang Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. There's no question of the queens of Dwarka having material bodies and then attaining the ultimate goal. They already were at the conclusion of the Vedas. They were already in their spiritual bodies. You can know that from the fact that even though Krishna had great-grandchildren, his queens always looked between the age of 16 and 20. That is the reality in Dwarka. We spoke yesterday about this special flavor of love expressed by the queens of Dwarka, the Prema Vaichitya. Even though Krishna is there, the queens are feeling bewilderment and pain of separation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially came to teach love of Krishna in separation. That reality was brought into existence in the material world by Madhavendra Puri. The seed, Chaitanya Charitamrita describes, from which the tree of Mahaprabhu sprouted. Sometimes the question is asked, well, where did Madhavendra Puri get this from? If you have to get something from somewhere. If up until Madhavendra Puri, there was no realization of the most confidential mellows of devotional service, then how did Madhavendra Puri suddenly acquire it? And then those who came after him, Ishwara Puri, and of course, the disciple of Madhavendra Puri, Advaita Acharya, this godbrother of Ishwara Puri. How did all that happen? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur comments on this, and he says, just as with Lord Brahma, first verse of Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Hida Yadadikava. Similarly with Madhavendra Puri, the truths were impregnated in his heart. Something always has to come from somewhere. We spoke yesterday briefly about how love of Krishna has the two divisions, which are explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and of course Ujjvala Nilomani, Sambhoga meeting, and Vipralamba separation. Mahaprabhu especially specializes in separation, and it is a special characteristic of the disciplic line of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas to always enrich in the atmosphere with feelings of separation from Krishna. That's why the six Goswamis of Vrindavan never said that their mission was complete. Their mission is always unfulfilled. They never said, now we have Krishna. They're showing what it means to be a follower of Mahaprabhu. We'll speak about the Panchatattva, and especially Sri Advaita Acharya. Generally speaking, you can say that Advaita Acharya is an expansion of Mahavishnu, and it is because of him that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world. Of course, Krishna as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has his own reasons, confidential reasons, described in the fourth chapter of Adi Leela. Krishna himself wanted to experience what his dearest devotee is experiencing in relation to him. So those are the confidential reasons for Mahaprabhu's appearance. But externally, Advaita Acharya is the prime cause. And it is a fact that Mahaprabhu responded to the cries, the loud cries of Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya saw the situation in the world. He had done an environmental scan, so to speak. This is explained by Kaviraj Goswami. Bhakti Ganda Nahi. I don't see a trace of bhakti. And he's speaking in the Navadvip area. Keho Pape, Keho Punye, Kore Vishoy Bhoga. Everywhere someone's doing pious activity, somewhere else someone's doing a sinful activity, but no bhakti. Alarmed by this situation and overwhelmed with compassion, Advaita Acharya decided to induce the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, Advaita Acharya, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, could have relieved the situation of the world. But he's feeling himself to be a servant. This is explained more in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Advaita Acharya suddenly jumps up from his seat, leaping into the air, and recites again and again, I'm the servant of Lord Chaitanya, I'm the servant of Lord Chaitanya, I'm the servant of his servant. Or other times he'll jump up, Nityananda and I are both servants of Lord Chaitanya. So Advaita Acharya could have delivered the world, but he's feeling himself to be a servant. Chaitanya Charitamrita asserts, who do you know in the spiritual reality who's not a servant? The queens in Dwarka, they feel themselves to be made servants of Krishna. And certainly the gopis in Vrindavan feel themselves to be made servants of Krishna. Advaita Acharya feels himself to be a servant. Therefore, let me call for Krishna himself to appear. Also, Advaita Acharya knew only Krishna himself, not a plenary expansion, only Swayam Bhagavan Krishna can distribute pure love of himself at the deepest level. So for all those reasons, he appealed for the appearance of Sriman Gauranga. He thought to himself, how to bring about this divine appearance. His conclusion was that with his bhakti, even just by worshiping the Supreme Lord with Gangajal and Tulsi Manjari, even just with that, if the bhakti is so powerful, Krishna himself is purchased. He'll give himself just by apparently being offered some water and some leaf. It's the bhakti that makes the difference. So Advaita Acharya proceeded to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, while offering water and tulsi leaves and crying out with such, not simply crying out, but roaring, appealing to Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality of Godhead, please descend. So you have the Vishnu Tattva roaring and crying out for the appearance of Vishnu Tattva. It's impossible for impersonalists to understand. That is one of the main functions of the Panchatattva, you've often explained. The Mayavadis say everything is one, so Krishna says, all right, I come as five. Just to bewilder them. Advaita Acharya considered that if the bhakti is intense enough, simply by the offering of the water and the leaf, Krishna becomes indebted. So that's his That was his modus operandi. That's how he swung into action with that particular goal. He met Madhavendra Puri in Shantipur. Madhavendra Puri had stopped there on one of his journeys. And Advaitacharya recognized, this is an extraordinary Vaishnava. Let me take my mantra from him. So in that way, Mahaprabhu always considered Advaitacharya to be his superior. Because, as we said, Advaitacharya was the godbrother of Ishvar Puri, the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But that caused some intricacies for Advaitacharya. We may talk about it later. He didn't like to be treated with such respect and veneration by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We spoke about debt, how Advaitacharya knew that if the bhakti is intense enough, Krishna will feel indebted so much that he'll give his very self. But later, in Advaitacharya's pastimes, he was presented, his confidential secretary, presented to Prataparudra Maharaj, that Advaitacharya is in debt. First, his secretary, Kamalakanta, presented to Prataparudra Maharaj because he and Advaita had gone to Puri. So Kamalakanta took advantage of their location to first, in a letter, point out to the king that Advaitacharya is the Supreme Personality of God. And then he said, by the way, Advaitacharya has a debt of 300 rupees. 300 rupees back then, 500 years ago, more, was a lot of money. He has a debt of 300 rupees. Can you please cover it? So it's not only that emails wind up in unexpected places. Even back then, 500 years ago or more, letters would wind up in unexpected places. And this letter wound up, found its way to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was pleased that Kamalakanta had established Advaitacharya as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. Well and good. But then, how is it anyone can say the Supreme Personality of Godhead is poverty-stricken and in debt? Mahaprabhu very vigorously pointed out this contradiction and the possible implications. How can someone who is poverty-stricken be considered the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The Acharyas point out that Lord Vamanadeva appeared to have nothing when he approached Bali Maharaj. But that is just a ruse. That doesn't mean Supreme Personality of Godhead Vamanadeva is poverty stricken. Remember, Bali Maharaj, in response to being asked for 3 steps of land, said, "You are an inexperienced little Brahmana boy. You don't know how to ask for charity. I can give so many things. Elephants, gold, villages, wives, you name it. You're just asking for 3 steps of land." So Vamanadeva told him, hinting very loudly, someone who's not satisfied with 3 steps of land won't be satisfied if he possesses the whole universe. You're about to lose it. Still, you cannot say Vamanadeva is poverty-stricken. He simply adopted a ruse to enjoy pleasure with his devotee. And Bali Maharaj cooperated. All right, if this is really Vishnu, let him cheat. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in responding to this letter by Kamalakanta, was protecting the Bhagavad Dharma, the science of the Supreme, so that persons wouldn't misuse Kamalakanta's letter. And by reacting so vigorously, Mahaprabhu is making sure that we always understand there's no such thing as Daridra Narayan, or poverty-stricken Narayan. So he told, I don't want to see this Kamalakanta again. I don't want to see him. He's banished from my presence. Kamalakanta was also a confidential devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as well as Advaita Acharya. To be banished from that sangha, that association. Obviously, Kamalakanta was very disturbed. But Advaita Acharya lectured him. You have received such great favor. You have been personally corrected and punished by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How fortunate you are. This is a little mysterious for us to understand how to perceive the greatest fortune in being chastised and corrected. Advaita Acharya saw the incident in that way, and he wanted to teach us how Krishna is all good and Krishna's representative is all good. So we should think about this point before moving further. We can say it theoretically. The rose is as good as the thunderbolt. But who wants to feel the thunderbolt? We need the help of Advaita Acharya and his representatives to understand this. And the more we think about it, the more we can understand how bhakti is beyond material happiness and distress. It's in its own category. It's distinct. But because we're so conditioned by attachment to material happiness and revulsion to material distress, it's, other than saying it with our lips, it's really hard to embrace the reality that Advaita Acharya is presenting to Kamalakanta. Oh, you are so fortunate. You got some personal treatment from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Never mind that it appears this way or that way. You got the personal treatment. I am not so fortunate. Mahaprabhu treats me with such respect because I'm the godbrother of his spiritual master. Advaita Acharya would have to go to great lengths to get some treatment from Mahaprabhu that he felt was proper, that Mahaprabhu would treat him as a subordinate. And as you know, Advaita Acharya came up with this ruse. He came up with this tactic to go around teaching Mayavad philosophy so that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would hear about it and then take action. And yes, indeed, that happened. Hearing that Advaita Acharya was doing this, speaking this bogus philosophy, Mahaprabhu came after him to chastise him. And at that point, Advaita Acharya expressed his ecstasy. Ah, this is the way it should be. I submit to this chastisement so happily. He's no longer treating me as a superior. So, all this is packed into Advaita Acharya's presentation to Kamalakanta. How fortunate you are. Still, we need to think about this. Why is it fortune? What is Advaita Acharya trying to teach us? He's Advaita, non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the Acharya. He teaches bhakti by example. Advaita Acharya knows that treatment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if it appears to be severe, always brings benefit. And similarly, treatment by his representative always brings benefit, even though it seems like punishment. Advaita Acharya grumbled at Mahaprabhu, "You don't treat me like this. You don't give me this kind of mercy. Why is it that you have given such a huge shipment of mercy to Kamalakanta? I don't get this." Hearing that, Mahaprabhu told Advaita Acharya, this is after Mahaprabhu had said, "I never want to see Kamalakanta." He told him, "Now, bring him to me." And what was Advaita Acharya's reaction? "Oh, no, you have cheated me twice." "Twice you have unloaded upon Kamalakanta such mercy that I never get. First by banishing him, and then by calling him into your presence again. All this personal interaction, this personal response from you. What mercy." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased by Advaita Acharya's analysis. But still, it's something for us to think about, because we're so attached to material happiness. As we were speaking yesterday, the proper mentality of a devotee, the proper consciousness of a devotee, is to take happiness in Krishna's happiness. But for so many births, we have been independent happiness agents. And we spoke yesterday about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's presentation that there is an imaginary friendship between the false ego and material happiness. We've got it all worked out in our mind that those two are friends. My false identity and material happiness, they just seem to belong together. And so we want them to be together. We want the false self to be materially happy. But by hearing these leelas, we start to think more deeply, and our conceptions become, our grip on these false conceptions slackens. Mahaprabhu, as you know, is the main trunk of the tree of bhakti, and then the two main sub-trunks are Advaita and Nityananda. Mahaprabhu always made sure that no one disrespected Advaita Acharya. He even expressed discontent with his own mother. What can compare to the affection of Sachimata for her son? Yet, Mahaprabhu expressed dissatisfaction with her. She has made an offense against Advaita Acharya, and there'll be no proper proceedings until she acknowledges that offense. Who can compare with the affection? What can compare with the affection shown by Sachimata for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Yet he still took that stand. So what had Sachimata done to make an offense to Advaita Acharya? You see, Vishwaroop, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's older brother, had been going to Shastra classes at Advaita Acharya's house, taking Shastra lessons from him. This intense study of the Shastra has always gone on in the Vaishnava line. So every day, Vishwaroop was going to learn. in the classes of Advaita Acharya. And at some point, Vishwarup decided he's leaving home and taking sannyas. And he did it. After his departure from home, Nimai Pandit started going to the classes. And that's when his mother decided to draw the line. I've lost one son, she hinted, because of these classes at the house of Advaita Acharya. Now I'm about to lose another. So that was the offense that Mahaprabhu heard about. And the offense wasn't relieved until Advaita Acharya was in ecstasy, lost in love of Krishna, and Sachimata took advantage and touched his feet. Then everything was... Mahaprabhu said, okay, everything's fine now. This is how special Advaita Acharya is. He misled Mahaprabhu to come to his house, telling him, yes, this is Vrindavan. After Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. Why not? What is so astonishing about Advaita Acharya guiding Mahaprabhu? Yes, we're in Vrindavan. Come this way. When he is the reason for Mahaprabhu's appearance in this world. And that is demonstrated when, at a certain point in Gaura Lila, Advaita Acharya sends a message from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri. And the famous message said, in the marketplace, there's no longer demand. Everyone's becoming a mad person. Hearing that message, Mahaprabhu went silent. The devotees couldn't figure this out. What does this sonnet mean? Subhdamadar immediately understood. From the point of that message onward, Mahaprabhu's days and nights in Jagannath Puri became even more tumultuous and ecstatic love. Devotees, about the message, they asked Mahaprabhu, what does this mean? And Lord Chaitanya said, this is Advaita Acharya. He writes messages even I can't understand. But he understood. Advaita Acharya was communicating that everyone is drunk with ecstatic love of Krishna. There's no longer any demand in the marketplace. Everyone is saturated. Everyone's become mad. So Mahaprabhu thought to himself, this is his order. He brought me into the world. He brought the deity into the world. And he's sending the deity away. That's Advaita Acharya. That's what he can do. So this is how confidential the role of Advaita Acharya is in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. We can take note of his compassion. It's interesting that when you read the Krishna book, this chapter 90, the last chapter of the 10th canto, how does Srila Prabhupada end the entire Krishna book? He ends with a warning that we should not retire from outreach. We should not retire from preaching and think we can just hear and chant in a solitary place. He even quotes his own example. He says, when I was living in Vrindavan, so many babas came up to me and said, why are you worried so much about preaching, going here and there? Just stay in solitude and do your bhajan. So just see how Srila Prabhupada chose to end the entire Krishna book. Always taking every opportunity to urge his followers to dedicate their life to spreading the mission of Lord Chaitanya. All right. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for a wonderful class. But my question is, as you in the beginning you said that the queens of Krishna were already in their spiritual body.
Yes, you heard that in the purport also.
Right, so my question is, Maharaj, that does the soul resides in that body, or that soul itself becomes a spiritual body, or how is it? If you can just explain.
There's no inside or outside with the spiritual body, whether of Krishna or his perfected devotees. And those devotees who are part of his lila. Some of them, if you want to get into the intricacies, you can read the purports and the commentaries in 10th Canto. Some of the devotees in Krishna lila are coming from the conditioned stage, and they become spiritualized. Others are eternal associates who never take material bodies. So in this case, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has pointed out that these queens of Dwarka, their forms are Satchidananda. So we take it in that way. And what is the proof? I gave the proof. Even though Krishna had great-grandchildren, still his wives looked like they were between the ages of 16 and 20. So how is that? It's because their bodies were not subject to time. They had spiritual forms. Just as Krishna is able to maintain his spiritual form even when he appears in the material world, similarly, his eternal associates can also do the same. The appearance day of Sri Advaitacharya is not an insignificant day. He plays such a crucial role in Gaura Lila. As an expansion, roughly speaking, of Mahavishnu, he plays an important role in the creation of the material universes. But you could say that his role in Gaura Lila is even more crucial. He invites Mahaprabhu into the world and he sends him away. He also demonstrates that it's not automatic by birth that someone is a devotee. Half of his sons were the greatest devotees. Half of them had problems. So you might ask, well, how could this be? They're the sons of Advaitacharya. But to demonstrate that qualification is not automatic by birth, Advaitacharya's sons were of two types. In every way, Advaitacharya is always teaching by example. And in the song by Narottam Das Thakur, he says that Advaitacharya's mercy is necessary for receiving the mercy of Chaitanya Nitai. Dayakoro Sita Pati Advaita Gosai. What's the next line? So let's not overlook Sri Advaitacharya. He's always observing. Because he's so compassionate, he's always observing what's going on. First of all, he observes that even Navadvip was becoming so decadent. There was so much logic, schools of logic, schools of pious activity going on. But where was the bhakti? And then later, Advaitacharya notices, everyone is mad in ecstatic love of Krishna. There's no more demand anymore. You can go now. This is how crucial Advaitacharya is. His wife, he had two wives, particularly Sita Thakurani. She's, generally speaking, Yogamaya. She's a spiritual energy. His father was Kuvera Pandit. Gaura Ganadesh Deepika says that Kuvera Pandit, the father of Advaitacharya, is actually Kuvera, the treasure of the heavenly planets. So we beg today for the mercy of Advaitacharya, so that we can call into our hearts the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.